I think that's a good word to go along with what the Lord has to say to us today. In Acts, it says they encourage them to continue in the faith, reminding them that they must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Continue in the faith. And the Lord just spoke to me about compromise or continue. And we've been talking about a commitment. And the thing that will get us past compromise and cause us to continue is that commitment. That commitment to God. And have you ever noticed that compromise seems to be easier than continuing? There's those things where we just know it's a compromise, but it doesn't seem like such a big compromise. And there's that name of Jesus that's before our eyes that challenges us to continue in the way that we're going, but compromise just unfortunately comes so naturally. Continuing comes supernaturally. And this world, we know this, this world is full of opportunities to compromise. Big and small. You know, the littlest things, and sometimes we don't have a problem compromising big things. But little things, well, they aren't that big of a deal. And yet, if they weren't that big of a deal, why do they bother us? What a promise from God. He don't give up on us. See, that's a thing that we have to know when we talk about a commitment, when we talk about continuing, when we talk about communion with God. We've got to know that He's perfect. We're being perfected. And He won't give up on us. He won't. Because His love, see, He's committed to us. He is committed to us. He is committed to our welfare. He is committed to our happiness. He is committed to our completeness. He's committed to it. That's why He's able to complete whatever we give to Him, because He's committed to us. Wow. That's a comfort. That's a comfort. And we, in one way or another, have recognized that He's committed to us. We've experienced Him. We've experienced His favor. We've experienced, sometimes we've experienced and we haven't noticed it, but we have. Or we haven't acknowledged it. We may have noticed it, but we didn't acknowledge it. You know, you can notice something without acknowledging it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can notice. You can hear people. You know, the thing that people will say, well, somebody was watching out for me. See, that's noticing that something good happened, but it's not really acknowledging the one who was watching out. That's why sometimes somebody will say something like that, and I will just kindly just say, man, God was looking out for you. And it's like saying it's God makes it almost uncomfortable. Someone is okay. You know. It's you might notice God, but He's the big man upstairs. Well, you see, noticing that is not acknowledging who He is. Because there's a lot of people that think there's some big man upstairs. And isn't it interesting that oftentimes the people who do not know God, but they know another God, oh, they'll acknowledge that God. Even though in their heart of hearts, I think they know that God doesn't do anything and that it's the true God that is good, and they would like to know the true God. And sometimes it looks like people are more committed to false gods than people who know the God or committed to the God. Because they've got all these things that they can do, and if they do that, then they're earning something. And we've got this wonderful God who is committed to us and will never, never give up on us. And somehow or another, we pervert that idea into, well, you know, he understands how hard it is. Do you know, the Muslims, they got no understanding that Allah understands how hard it is. And I think that's why there's so many that are willing to blow themselves up, because they can't do anything else right, but if they do that right, they got it made. And all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. But we need to commit to that name. We don't earn anything by committing to that name. We don't earn anything by that commitment except for peace of heart. We all know that committed feels good, compromise doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. And God's not going to allow it to feel good, because if compromise feels good, if a little compromise is okay, then a little more compromise is okay, and a little more compromise is okay, and pretty soon bigger things aren't such big things, because after all, we believe in Jesus. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you love me. So I don't want to just receive salvation. I want to love him. You know? Nicodemus saying you can't get to heaven without salvation. That's true. But how much easier is the trip if we're loving him along the way? Easier, isn't it? It's really more comfortable to be committed. Because, remember, Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I do, I don't want to do, and Jesus will get me through this. You see, we know from Paul's writings that every now and then he had a less than sterling attitude toward some people. And it didn't seem to bother him. It ended up in the Bible. I hope God gives them what they got coming. You know, that's not a thought that I really am comfortable with for myself, simply because I don't want people to get what they got coming, because I'm glad I didn't get what I had coming. Amen. So I'm willing to allow the Holy Spirit to say, Roger. But we can compromise that, because after all, Paul said it. So it's okay for me to wish the worst for someone that's done me bad, because Paul said it. Not if the Holy Spirit says it's different for you and me. Not if we have grown in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we realize that that's just not comfortable to want that, to want the worst for someone. Because if we, what we sow, we're going to reap. If I want the worst for someone, maybe that's what I'll get back. I don't know. I'm not trying to come up with a doctrine here, okay? I'm just trying to say that unfortunately, compromise is often easier than it should be. But he won't give up on us. The Holy Spirit will remind us. It just won't be comfortable. And you see, one thing about closeness to God, comfortable is what we like best. You know? we recognize, we call it peace. We recognize when peace is fleeing. And somehow, sometimes we can be comfortable with our peace fleeing for just a little while so we can just get this compromise out of our system. Thank God he doesn't give up on us. He draws us back. We repent. And peace returns. Sometimes I wake up in the night and I'm thinking about things that I shouldn't be thinking about. I'm trying to solve things that I've already given to God. And I say, God, I'm sorry. I gave this to you already. What am I doing thinking about this? But boy, those things just keep coming back sometimes, don't they? They just keep coming back. Well, it's not so bad if they come back if we send them away again. But you see, we can compromise and take back what we've already given to God because we can decide, oh, I guess God didn't want that. He wants me to handle it myself. But, huh, we know better than that. He said, cast your cares upon him. Anybody have any cares that you cast and you can't get off the hook? So you cast them again and they're still on the hook? You know, something good will fall off the hook all the time, but man, that thing that you cast, cut the line. It's just gone. You know, there's a lot of things that we need to just let them go. I'm reminded of fishing in Alaska with my dad, and he caught this fine halibut, first one. Some of you heard the story, some of you haven't. It wasn't memorable, whatever. But, you know, I'll just tell it anyway. Again, he caught this fine halibut. And when you catch a halibut, and we were in a dinghy, not a real boat anyway, but when you catch a halibut, big ones need to not get in the boat alive. And Vicky's dad and her brother were trying to remember, do you shoot first and hook them second, or do you hook them first and shoot second? And they decided to shoot first. And when they shot first, the halibut's teeth clamped down on the line, and the halibut just drifted off with the current. My dad watched the halibut go. Bill and Butch realized that you hook them first, and then shoot them. We never lost another one that way all day. But Dad's big one seriously did get away. And there was nothing we could do about it. Except he had enough witnesses to confirm his fish story that we could confirm that it got away. And I'm sure that it was bigger than we thought. But I'm pretty sure also it was the biggest one of the day. And we just had to keep fishing. We had to let it go. Just had to let it go. We couldn't catch it. We couldn't bring it back up because it would drift and disappear. Wouldn't that be just really nice if we cut the line and those things would drift and disappear? And then they would just be a good story. No pain. No regrets. A great story of victory. Oh man, we got them, folks. We all got them. We all got them. That if we could just cut the line and let the peace of God that passes understanding just go ahead and let it take over, it could be a good story of victory. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of those things not being good stories of victory. I'm tired of those things being things that rather than being praise, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph, being, oh, I got to get rid of that. Of those things being things that you haven't thought about for a long time and you wake up in the night and there they are. You know, like the old song says, there's always something there to remind me. But what if we come to that place where we let God take care of those things when there's always something there to remind me and we say, hi, that was a good victory. That's a great story. You know, nobody goes to Alaska fishing that goes halibut fishing that I don't get a chance to share that story about my dad and the one that got away. You know, because that was my dad's story. When he came back, you know, he didn't really fish much after he came back. People talk about fishing, he'd take out his halibut pictures. He said, these fish around here just don't compare to these halibuts. He laughed. Yeah. Those things that come against us. Those things, it's good to know what things cause us to compromise. It's good to acknowledge them, to recognize them. And boy, I'm telling you, take it to heart, the word from the Lord this morning. He won't give up on us. God doesn't throw in the towel if we compromise once. He doesn't throw in the towel if we compromise twice. He doesn't throw in the towel if we just keep compromising. And it hurts his heart because it hurts our heart. Compromise hurts. We can put on a strong exterior if we want to. We can pretend we can handle it, but geez, we don't like compromise. And when we come to the place where we hate it enough to let God have it, we got a victory at that area. We got a place. You know? I mean, there were big things that just were no problem when I got saved. And there were little things that I didn't really think were a problem. And those little things went on only until God said something. You know, my thing with, like, I sort of drove however fast was necessary at the time. You know, I mean, sometimes you just need to go fast. And when God got tired of me just going whatever speed I wanted to, he just simply said, Roger, what's the speed limit? Well, I could have said I haven't seen a sign recently, but that would be a lie. I knew what speed limit was. And how fast are you driving? I could have made an excuse. Who knows what my speedometer is right or wrong? But I told him exactly what the speedometer said. Is there anything wrong with that picture, Roger? I want you to drive the speed limit, Roger. Now, that wasn't a doctrine. That wasn't something that I needed to tell everybody in the world. You better drive the speed limit because God says so. No, God said so to me. And so I drive the speed limit. I don't know what the big deal is about the speed limit. And then when I started riding a motorcycle, you know, sometimes motorcycles just have to go faster. You know, I mean, they just do. And the Lord said, Roger, I didn't get you riding a motorcycle so you could kill yourself. How fast are you going? Do you know how hard it is for the motorcycle to go the exact speed limit? Especially if you have cruise control, you got no excuse. But that's just something that... If I can do that, There should be just about nothing that I can't do what God wants, isn't it? But there's some things that still come up. And now there'll be a lot of things that come up because when God talks about something, He has a purpose. I'm so glad that God gave us a word, I'll never give up on you. Because I do sometimes, you know. This morning, you know, I was praying. I was just talking to God. I said, you know, I'm whatever. But, you know, the bottom line was, is, you know, God, I have been in love with God since 1983. So math says that's 34 years. And sometimes it just really bothers me that I'm still needing work. And it bothers me that He finds what seemed to be the simplest thing, and all of a sudden, oh, let's fix this too. Now, I could say, oh, but God, you know, I gave up alcohol, I gave up drugs, I gave up all those great big things. This little thing's no big deal. That would be silly to say that, wouldn't it? It would be, thank you, God, that You will never give up on me, and this too, Lord. Because, you see, He doesn't want us to be uncomfortable. He doesn't want us to be condemned. He does not, you know, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so when we compromise, condemnation doesn't come from God. It comes from us. It comes from the enemy. Because if He can get us under condemnation, you know, we get under condemnation where like somebody tried to balance a rock on their head. It's like, it's up to us to keep that thing balanced. But if we just keep an eye on God, we just drop that thing on our wall and keep going. Because God is able to do abundantly above and beyond what we can hope or imagine. And when we remember those things, what do? We don't compromise, we continue. We continue in the faith. That's what Paul said. They encouraged him to continue in the faith and reminded them that we must suffer many tribulations to have the kingdom of God. I dare say the greatest tribulations that we suffer are compromise. Because for some reason, some part of us wants that. There's a good reason for it. There's a good rationale for it. There's whatever it might be. I jokingly say, you know, when my girls were growing up and you know, I used to say if my daughters ever brought home a guy like I was, I would kill him and pray for forgiveness. But I really wouldn't. Maybe. I don't think so. No, I wouldn't. Well, they won't. They didn't. I'm thankful for that. But that would be an awful thing. I'll deal with that later. But I mean, that would seem like a justifiable homicide to me. And it might even make it through court. But it wouldn't make it through God. But there are things. You know, that sounds silly, but you know, there are people who have done such things. The Bible says if we hate someone, it's like we murdered them. You know? So, I don't know that I've hated necessarily, but I've been less than happy sometimes with people. People who hurt people I love. People who hurt people I don't even know. You know, I'll be honest with you. I did some figuring about Mac. Now, you know, it's just a cat. But, you know, sometimes I think, I wonder if, first thing Vicky said, he's not easy to hit. Somebody must have weaved over to hit him, you know. And I sort of almost jumped right into that. And I didn't jump into that, but I've tried to jump into that a couple times. What if somebody did? But then I asked myself that great question that I understand would it help if I knew. No, that would compound the problem. Cut the line. Take the good memories. And that works best. Compromise never works. Never. And we know that. We know that it doesn't work even before we knew Jesus. Compromise didn't work. We knew even if we'd been around, you know, around Jesus, compromise didn't work. But now that we know Jesus, we know how to overcome compromise. Continue in the faith. Cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. If we find ourselves saying, well, it really won't hurt anything if I do this, that's probably a good place to stop. It will. I can drive as fast as I want. And maybe never get caught. But God sees. If I take the lights out of my dashboard and I cover it with blackout paper, I may not know how fast I'm going, but he will. And what would I gain? That's why God gave me the formula to figure out how many seconds you save for every 5 miles an hour you go over the speed limit. And it turns out to be, unless you're going to drive to Florida, you aren't going to gain enough to make it work out. You ever had anybody just come flying by you on the highway? And when you go to pull into town, they're like 30 feet in front of you. And that whole time, they've been risking like $100. And you've been back there just driving along. And when you get to town, you look at them and you think, why are they fools? But whenever I think, boy, are they fools, I remember I was a fool. Go screaming by somebody. And when you're stopped at a train, everybody's at the same speed. But I got to the train first. The most important thing we can take from this is that God will never give up on us. And a reminder not to compromise. Take authority over compromise. Ask God to make it clear. Now, I didn't try to put a speed limit thing in your head, okay? So I don't care how fast you drive. Unless God tells you, then you've got a problem. And if God tells you, you can blame it on me. Oh, he had to say that. But I'm just talking about things, you see, because everybody's got things that they've got down pat, and everybody has their own compromise places. And that's why he puts us together in a world, so that if I can overcome one, then I can help somebody overcome that one, and somebody else can help me overcome mine. That's why we dwell together to, hey, if somebody compromises, it's not my business to condemn somebody for compromising. But if the opportunity comes to help, we can. What's even better is when you both have the same compromise, you can agree in prayer. You know, one of those things like where you're thinking something and somebody says, I was thinking the same thing. And you both realize I shouldn't have been thinking that. In our lives, day in and day out, we choose to continue or to compromise. We choose to continue on with the Lord, or we just throw in the towel when we should be cutting the line. Amen? So, Lord, sometimes it's just so convenient to do the inconvenient and then work on it later. But Lord, the victory in stopping compromise before it gets started is so rewarding. And you have promised to reward us, and we don't even know what the rewards are, and yet we probably can name them, and you'd be happy to do that because you're committed to us. I'm so thankful, Lord, you are committed to us, and that there is no compromise in you. So what you've said you would do, you will do. And you've said, I love you, and nothing can separate you from my love. And we take comfort in that and know that when we compromise, you don't quit loving us, but we feel like you should. We think you have every good reason to just drop us like a bad habit, but we're reminded that you never give up on us. So thank you, Lord. Won't you please complete the good work that you've begun in us? And I pray for each and every one, Lord, that those things that just keep staying on the hook, I just pray now by the Holy Spirit that the line would be cut. That there would be a freedom that maybe we don't even know right now, we don't even feel right now, but suddenly the eyes of our hearts will open up and we'll see you and we'll say, wow, that's gone. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.